What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Sports Cast. June 7th, 2019. Hope all is well. We're heading live, but we're going to catch in with Tyler Turner right now. And we got some news.
I'm dead.
Tyler, we're actually live right now.
Oh, yeah?
We're live because I started it before calling you. But it's okay because you're prepared.
Yeah, I was prepared.
Anyways, it's June 7th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe at all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, Facebook. We're on all of it. And it's June. College football news still continues. And we had a huge story this past 2 weeks, and Tyler's going to share us about it. Tyler, how is your summer going so far?
Good, man.
You've been watching the French Open, watching some transfers going on, some recruiting.
And, you got the U.S. Open next week for golf.
So. Wow. What are the chances for Tiger to come back on that one?
Do you want to go into golf right now?
Let's do it. Let's just dive in.
Okay. I think Tiger gave himself a better chance at the U.S. Open. He played the Memorial last weekend. He finished the weekend strong. He shot 2-under on Saturday. Shot 5-under on Sunday. He was actually 7-under for the AM at one point. So I think by playing that extra tournament, so he won the Masters, and then he took a month off. And his next tournament was Death Saves, PGA Championship. And I really think he didn't give himself a chance. Like, obviously, he did make the cut. And that was the story on that one. For Kepke, he played the majors once again. So, he plays in Memorial, Tiger, he played last weekend. So you got next week at Pebble Beach, the U.S. Open. I think by playing in the Memorial, and he played pretty good, especially on the weekend, he's got some of that rust off. He definitely did come back. And along the track,
Tyler, if you can improve your audio a little bit, you sound a little bit far.
Hold on. Can you hear me better?
Wow, way better. Night and day.
Okay. Is there background noise, though?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's better now.
It is about... Okay, hold on. I'll just do it like this.
Okay.
That probably gets rid of the background.
Old school.
Sorry, that must... It must be my lousy headphones. Could you hear anything I said?
No, I think like the last 2 minutes, we didn't hear much.
Didn't hear anything? Okay. So go back to where did you last hear?
We talked about, I think, Tiger's chances of winning.
Okay, well, Tiger's like I said, Tiger, okay, so I'll just go back and say what I was going to say. I think he gave himself a better chance at the U.S. Open because he played Memorial. He was 9-under at Memorial. He played very good on Saturday and Sunday. He shot 7-under. He shot 5-under, actually, on Sunday. And at one point, he was 7-under for the day. So I think he gave himself a much, much better chance at the U.S. Open. He's also played Pebble Beach before. That was his biggest victory ever back in 2008, when he won by, 12 strokes. And that was at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open. So I think he gave himself a chance. You have other golfers that are playing really well. Brooks Koepka has obviously won the last two U.S. Opens. So, yeah.
Is Koepka the favorite? Is he the flavor of the year now? Or
I don't know if you call him the flavor of the year. He's won four of the last eight majors. So, yeah, I mean, he's doing pretty good. He's just he's a physical specimen. I can't hear. He's a physical specimen, so he could just knock the crap out of the ball. And so it really gives him a stroke on everyone else. I'd say Koepke. I mean, you got Dustin Johnson, who obviously he was a runner-up at the PGA. He was also the runner-up at the Masters. So he plays long courses very well. So Dustin Johnson has to be a favorite. Patrick Cantlay, he won the Memorial. He also was third at the PGA Championship, and he was top 10 at the Masters, so he's a guy you have to watch out for. And then you got the guys like Rory, and Jordan Spieth also was in the top five at Memorial. He also finished top five at the PGA Championship. He's a three-time major champion. You have to look out for him. He's playing pretty good ball. So right now, there's a lot of guys who I'd put in some pretty serious contention to here at the U.S. Open. So we'll just see. Obviously, Tiger's my boy, so that's who I'm going for. But there's definitely several others that could win it.
Can you give us a top four prediction finish?
If I was to go top four, I'd probably go – I'm going to go Tiger because he's my guy. And you know, he's won the Masters this year. And then I'm going to go Koepke, Dustin Johnson, and I'll go Patrick Cantlay because of how well he's playing right now.
How far will Phil Mickelson go this year?
He's not playing that well right now.
Okay.
He's not playing that well. I don't think this is a great course for him. If he's going to contend anywhere, I'd say it's the Open over there in Britain. I don't see him being a strong contender.
For those who don't know, the U.S. Open will have its 119th U.S. Open this year, scheduled to be played June 13th through the 16th at Pebble Beach Golf Links in Pebble Beach, California. Must be great weather, right?
Yeah,
it has to be. Must be an expensive course. And winners of the U.S. Open for the last 10 years was Lucas Glover, Dustin Johnson, Kamer, Brooks Koepke, Graham McDowell, Rory McIlroy, Julie Rose. No, not Julie, Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
Webb Simpson, Jordan Spieth. What's going on with Rory McIlroy? I haven't really seen some buzz from him lately.
I mean, yeah, he won a couple tournaments early in the year. He wasn't great at the Masters. Didn't do a whole lot at the PGA Championships. Even saw him play at the Memorial this weekend. He's just not. Yeah, he played good early on, but he just doesn't seem to be getting his footing. He's not really a contender in any serious capacity in the last couple majors, especially. So, I don't know. You never know, though. He could end up being amazing and win the U.S. Open. He has the game, the ability, so he could. I mean, you can't ever count him out.
For the audience out there, how would you put the U.S. Open in, like, the championship? Is it, like, number one, you got to win this, or is this, like, the top three? Like, how would you put this tournament?
Well, you have four majors. They're all good. I mean, just like in tennis, the four majors. I mean, if you win a major, you win a major. Probably the most prestigious, like in golf, is the Masters.
Yeah.
Just because it's the longest running. It's always at Augusta. It doesn't switch venues. I guess if you're going to say which one you rank first, probably the Masters, and then I'd say the other three. Just like if you were going to rank all four of the majors in tennis, you might put Wimbledon first.
I would.
And then you have the other three tied. I don't know, though, but they're all good. If you're a major champion, you're a major champion.
How
I look at it, that's how you spin it.
Yeah, it's all preference. But, yeah, you're right. Like, the Masters, I've always heard it's good. What do you think about the British Open? Is that a big one for you?
Hey, hold on one second, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Hold on one second.
Let me read some headlines here, guys, while Tyler is handling his personal stuff. Prosecutors.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I literally am walking around a trail outside and someone stops me to ask me to look out for their dog. Okay.
I thought you were at an airport.
What'd you say?
I thought you were at an airport.
No, I don't know what that person's doing. It's weird. Anyway, go ahead. What are you saying?
Okay, U.S. Open. How would you rank the British Open? That's one of my favorites. I don't know why I like that one the most.
Well, like I said, the most, they're all majors. So if you win any of the majors,
you're
it's
good.
Awesome. I would just say the Masters is the oldest running, and it's always at Augusta.
Right. Augusta.
But like I said, any of the majors in tennis and golf are good.
My uncles have golfed at the Augusta. My uncles have golfed at the Augusta grounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most famous.
It's pretty expensive.
It's the most longest running, most famous.
How is your golf? I mean, you haven't really discussed. I mean, you have skills in that, or
no? Not really. No. There's sports that I like that I'm not even, like, I'm not a tennis player either.
Oh,
like that.
Oh,
I,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, tennis is a lot of cardio.
It's a lot of skill in general. I mean, both those sports are high skill sports.
Yeah.
That's why I like it so much.
Yeah, like tennis, I tried and it just wasn't for me. I'll stick with soccer and basketball, keep it on the court and on the field.
Sounds good.
Let's look at college football. We got big news. Ex-Gator Chris Steele is transferring to USC. His father, Norm, told ESPN. Steele, a 2019 signee with Florida, who was ranked number 95 overall in the ESPN 300, announced his transfer in May after complaints about then-roommates Jalen Jones, who was accused of sexual battery by two women in April. When Steele initially announced his transfer, he said he would be attending Oregon. Steele then visited USC on Monday, according to a source, and decided to change course, landing with the Trojans. Of course, you're an Oregon fan. How did you respond to this situation?
Well, you know, this situation, I'm going to try to take fandom out of it. Yeah, I'm an Oregon fan. But, okay, so he leaves Florida, quote-unquote, because supposedly he asked to switch rooms. The kid gets charged with sexual assault. Everyone's like, well, you know, that was very poor what Florida did. And you know, Florida got a lot of backlash. They had a few incidents happen in a couple weeks there. And that was one of them. Then when Steele left, although his teammates at Florida kind of threw shade at him on Twitter, they got in little Twitter banner. I saw they were saying that he was just Gator bait now and blah, blah, blah. That is a little weird, especially under the circumstances. There was also some rumblings at Florida that it was over-exaggerated. Like, he was really homesick, and that's why he left. Well, a week later, he commits to Oregon. Tells everyone the best relationship he had with the coach was with Dante Williams, the cornerback coach for Oregon, and that was his number two team always, and that's where he wanted to go. And so, you know, he was on a local podcast. I listened to it. It's called Scoop Ducks Podcast. Talked about how he's so happy to be a Duck now. He was applying for the waiver due to the incident that happened at Florida. Takes an official visit this past weekend to Oregon. Enrolls in classes and everything. The next day, goes to USC and decides to go there. And then does an interview with Tyson Alger of The Athletic and says, well, my mom just lost her job and my grandma's on dialysis. And the only thing is, it started not to add up. Just sounding to sound like the kid, for one, can't make up his damn mind. Two, he just kind of maybe makes up some stuff in order to, you know, benefit himself. And then when I actually say that online, I said online, I don't know if I'm believing this narrative, he PMs me, sends me a private message on Twitter, and just like, you saw it.
I saw it, yeah, the screenshots, yep.
Just going off saying how people like me, and I'm a bum, and and just going on a rant towards a random Twitter account, and then saying, you don't have any followers, well then why are you messaging me? Why are you? I mean, if this is not all about you, you probably just say, who cares what people online are saying? And then it turns out I was on a website, and another person from a website, another just fan, he went after on Twitter. He sent PMs. I mean, he's going after everyone that's thinking that his behavior is maybe a little weird, that he left one school and then committed to another and left another. And then if you followed his recruitment, he was like that during the recruitment. He committed to UCLA, decommitted. Then he supposedly silent committed to Oklahoma, LSU, Oregon, Florida. No one knew where he went to. Then he ended up doing a big recruitment video to USC. He commits to USC. 2 months later, he decommits. Then he signs with Florida but doesn't announce the commitment until the Army All-American game. Then he goes to Florida. Then he transfers, then he commits to Oregon. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, the kid clearly, and the thing is, everyone that questions him, he just goes and rants after online. I mean, good luck to USC. They can have him.
But here's my question. Honestly, do you think he'll stick with USC?
I don't care. I the kid has a bad attitude. He clearly is pretty narcissistic. Only one he really cares about is himself. And I don't foresee him being – I mean, he has talent, but, you know, attitude, coachability, commitment are all substantial characteristics of being a successful athlete and a successful person. Unless he changes, I don't see that happening.
Besides,
good luck to USC.
Yeah.
They get him and Brew McCoy, two guys that are flip-flopping left and right. Good luck with those kind of kids.
Which, if he would have stayed in Oregon, he would have shot for a championship.
I mean, you could say, I mean, USC, they have the talent to win a championship. They just, it's absurd. I mean, USC on paper, you know, I do my team talent formula, they're number five. They have the fifth most talent. But,
yeah.
I don't know. They can't put it together for the life of them.
But athletically, how would you rank him as a cornerback?
I mean, he's a good player. He's a physical player. He played at one of the best high schools in America, St. John Vesco Prep. He was a top 100 four-star. This is a guy that, you know, could play corner, possibly play safety, play nickel. He's versatile. He's good, but just, but the problem there's some character flaws going on with him.
And USC itself, how do you see him ranked nationally right now?
Do I see USC?
Yeah, like how do you see? Are they in the top 25 or?
I mean, talent wise, like I said, they have the fifth most talented roster probably on paper in the country.
Interesting.
By far the most talented roster in the Pac-12. But they were 5-7 last year.
They
just seem to have – there's internal issues. I mean, their university in general has been caught up in the academic scandal. Obviously, Helton is the coach on the hottest seat in America going into this year. I don't know. Who knows? They have the talent to be good. They have the talent to be good, but will they be good? I have my doubts.
This is not the first time we have players contact the sportscast. This is our first negative one. Like the other ones are liking our articles or liking our tweets, but this one is our first counter attack a little bit, but which is great. I like that.
Yeah. You know? Don't worry. I don't think Chris Steele has any fans outside of maybe Southern Cal. He's not one to worry about.
Another article we've been talking about, former Southern Cal athletic director Pat Hayden being investigated in college admissions scandal. Federal investigators are examining former Southern California athletics director Pat Hayden's potential role in the college admissions scandal that has rocked several national universities, including USC, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. So USC has its own problems as well.
Correct. Like I said, USC is definitely – you just don't know what you're going to get from them at this current time.
Yeah. Obviously, they are in the top schools of great recruiting, so we'll see how they go. Maybe with Chris Steele might help out the situation. Maybe we could get Chris Steele in the sportscast, but typically players say
yeah,
no
right.
Because for some reason, I think they have some type of contractual issue or like – you know, they can't get on.
What do you mean?
Like, for some reason, like, we've been talking to a few players out there, and they can't go on podcasts or on TV shows. I think of contract situations, they're not allowed to, but.
There's no way that a collegiate athlete's under contract for anything. It's illegal.
Or, I don't know. There's something they just can't get on. I don't know.
Have you reached out to college guys?
Yes, we have reached out to some college guys, and for some reason. They just like decline.
If they're saying that if they're saying that they can't get on for you're not under contract.
Well, they didn't say contract. I'm just assuming it's a contract, but now you're telling me they don't have contracts like that. So I'm saying maybe the school tells them no, maybe verbally.
Who have you reached out to? What guys?
I cannot remember their names. Riley knows because he's the one that has been contacting them.
Like Tua and stuff.
No, not Tua. Maybe some like low key Alabama players.
Oh, like Najee Harris, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
But
well, I can reach out to Oregon guys, see if that if they give the same response.
That'd be great, just to see what's up, you know. But obviously,
yeah, I was thinking about reaching out to one kid, the wide receiver for Oregon.
Yeah, but then again, you don't see him on SportsCenter or anything. Or well, yeah, you see him sometimes. Yeah, you see him like after a game or two. But
yeah, yeah, you'll see them on game day. Yeah,
yeah. Anyways, I'm looking back here at college football news a little bit. Some headlines I'm going to read to you and see what your thoughts. Frank Gore Jr., son of NFL back, commits to FAU. Fink decides to stay at USC after soul searching.
Yep, another USC guy coming back.
Interesting. Yeah, like USC news here.
Yeah, they've had a good offseason between the transfers of 5-star Brew McCoy, 4-star Chris Steele, and they've had three different guys: Matt Fink, quarterback; Greg Johnson, cornerback; and Velus Williams, wide receiver, who entered the transfer portal, all came back. So they had three guys going to the transfer portal and decided to come back, and they had two other guys transfer back in. So actually, USC has had a very good offseason, believe it or not.
Well, we'll see. So we're looking at a USC-Oregon shootout in the Pac-12.
Do I think the game will be?
No, like it'll be like for the Pac-12, it'll be it could be possibly be decided between USC and Oregon.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's who most people are saying it's going to be between.
Of course,
I mean,
Washington
right now, I'd say the favorites is Washington, Oregon, and Utah.
Wow, that's going to be very competitive.
But USC is the team on paper, but they came off a 5-7 year. Their team's on the hot. Their coach is on the hot seat. They fired their whole offensive staff. I mean, so you just don't know. I mean, despite the talent that they have, you just don't know if they can put it together to be good. You really don't. I just don't know. So if I was a betting man right now, I'd say Washington versus Oregon in the north. Probably Utah is the favorite in the south. They have a pretty easy schedule. And I would say, you know, Utah is going to probably beat Washington or Oregon for the Pac-12 title. That's who I'd say today, but you never know. Never know how the, you know, USC could come out of nowhere. Arizona, you know, State has some talent on their team. Herm Edwards did better than they thought in the first year. Second year, he could be back. And then you also got Washington State. And Mike Leach always has his net over his Chiefs. So they could be up there, too. And Stanford. That Stanford, David Shaw, always has one of the better teams in the Pac-12. But I would say Washington or Oregon is probably the favorite in the north, and then Utah in the south.
Let's move into the French Open. Nadal defeated Federer, I think 6-2, right?
He beat him 6-3, 6-4, 6-2. He beat him in three straight sets.
Yes. What are your thoughts about that match?
I mean, Federer looked better. He looks like he's more healthy. He was not going to beat Nadal. Remember, Nadal is 11-time French Open champion. He's 92-2 all time at the French Open. He's the greatest clay court player in the history of tennis, and it's not even close. He's basically had a Hall of Fame career on the clay surface. I think Nadal's going to win his 12th French.
And
the other semifinal, Djokovic versus Thiem, it got canceled. It was 1-1 within the third set. Dominic Thiem was up 3-1 on Djokovic. It got suspended. They play tomorrow morning. But I think Nadal beats – he definitely will beat Thiem. I mean, Djokovic, I think, is the best player in the world right now. But on clay, Nadal is pretty much impossible to beat. I mean,
Nadal is hot right now. Yeah, tomorrow at 6 a.m. Eastern, Djokovic will be playing Thiem. Of course, we think Djokovic might go to the final. And the final will be on Sunday, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So that should be exciting. French Open, they play on clay. Some players do better on clay. Some players don't. Federer did not do well on clay. But yeah, these players are.
He did well. He did well. I mean, making it to the semifinals after especially all the injuries, I thought Federer played very well.
Top four.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, Nadal's the man on clay.
The French Open continues tomorrow on ESPN. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No. I just football season's almost here. 6 to 7 weeks before fall camp starts.
Wow.
So let's get revved up. Get ready.
Exactly.
Get mentally and physically prepared.
Now, there's still going to be transfers and commits going to happen in the next couple of weeks, right?
Commits, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, commits happen all year. And
every week.
Really mean it. Doesn't mean that much until they sign. But and then transfers, yeah. I would say the transfer is probably going to slow down.
Okay.
Because guys, you'll probably have a couple, you'll have some guys that are academically ineligible. Because remember, the semesters are wrapping up. So you might have a few people that, like, didn't qualify academically. You also might have a couple guys that, for Oregon, probably other teams, that maybe medically retire because they're unable physically. You see that right before the season. But actually, guys transferring out of the program, you don't see a ton this late. Because think about it. If you're transferring out this late, where are you going to go? Because most other teams already have the rosters filled up.
Yeah, they're locked.
So it's kind of difficult to transfer this late. So
who would?
I would say you're not going to see a lot of transfers.
Okay, prediction time. Let's go with tennis. Djokovic versus Thiem. Who you got?
I think Djokovic, I mean, tied 1-1. They're in the third set. Thiem's actually up. I think Djokovic comes back, and I think he takes it. But I think Nadal wins the French.
And it's hockey. Bruins at the Blues. Bruins are up. Hold on. I'm trying to see who the Bruins. I think the Bruins are down 3-2 against the Blues.
The Blues are up 3-2?
Yeah, they're up 3-2, yep.
Where's the sixth game at?
It'll be in St. Louis on Sunday night, 8 p.m. St. Louis.
Bruins win it.
Wow. Interesting. Everyone was picking the Bruins. I thought the Bruins were going to win this series, but the Blues are they're winning.
Ayo. Come on, Blues, baby. St. Louis, baby.
And tonight, game four, Toronto at the Golden State Warriors.
Durant's not playing. Is Thompson playing?
Thompson is playing. Correct.
I'll go Golden State. I don't know, though.
Yeah, no. It's tricky.
I don't know.
Clay's not 100%. Maybe 50%.
I'll go Golden State.
Golden State wins. Tie up the series. Make it interesting. I like that. You're watching some of the series?
I have a little bit. Not like I haven't been, you know, kind of boycotting the NBA, but I'm kind of watching it with one eye.
What'd you think about like the owner, like the minority owner punching Kyrie Lowry?
Oh, I saw that. I know. I mean, shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's altercation.
Yeah, why do you do that? I'm stupid.
That's why, because you love the team. You're invested in the team. You got so much passion. But yeah, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, stupid. When I saw him do that, I was like, dumb.
And random question of the week: what goes best with strawberries?
Probably like a strawberry smoothie.
Ooh, good pick. I like that. That's healthy.
Yeah, it is, bro.
Not angel food cake.
You know how I roll.
Tyler, how can people reach you, or how can people DM you?
At TurnerCast. That's where Chris Steele sent me DMs.
Yeah, man. Hopefully some Oregon players and some players will just, you know, give you high fives or something. And
yeah, I hope. Yeah.
Maybe some Oregon players. Yeah, man, you showed them. Anyways, who's going to miss him more? Well, no, both Florida and Oregon are going to miss him, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say this year I would say probably Florida. Well, Florida has two really good corners. Oregon has good starting corners. Oregon has a really good backup. They have this backup kid who's actually higher rated than Steele. He was the 41st rated player in the country. So they have a good him, and then they have a couple good starters. And Florida has two of the better starting corners. So I would say this year, I'd say about even. Now, in upcoming years, Oregon has a couple really good corners committed. And as long as they stay committed and they sign, and both their good corners are juniors, and they are probably going to be back. While I think Florida is losing both their good corners, they do have a good backup, another guy that was really highly rated. I'd say maybe Florida is going to miss him a little more in the long term. But no, he's a good player. He's good to miss, but whatever. He can go to USC. He's a goofball.
Sounds like it.
Can't deal with that mess.
No drama. I only deal with adults. Okay.
Yep, there you go.
Tyler is the best when it comes to recruiting. Follows on the sportscast.net. Writes good articles. He knows who's going to win in 2021. So he definitely knows what's a good team, what's a bad team. And we'll see what happens. Follows on the sportscast.net or on Twitter, the sportscast1. And this weekend, NHL, French Open, U.S. Open, and, of course, the NBA Finals. So we got a lot going on in sports until July is going to be so boring. But maybe college football news might bring us to life.
July. Yeah, that's probably when we talk. Well, Wimbledon's happening.
What? Yeah.
You also got the British Open. So it's not that boring for me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Tyler's not going to come back in August. He's going to go through the summer.
Dude, if you like tennis and golf, it's a good month. And, when it comes to other sports, it's a little fall. And then by August, you're having all the preseason fall camp hype.
Oof.
I would say August is the slowest month, probably. Because, I follow fall camp for football. Most people don't.
One follows NFL preseason.
Yeah, but that's boring.
They want to lower the four games to, like, two or something, I was hearing.
I wish they would, because the quality of play gets really bad.
And then injuries.
I mean, I've attended preseason football. It's not really good.
It's atrocious. Yeah. Anyways, all right.
Yeah, it's atrocious. So, yeah, August is – I would say August is the bad month. But I like July. I mean, you got Wimbledon and British Open. That's pretty – those are two awesome tournaments. So.
Sounds good. Tyler Turner, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
I did.